The Old Testament scripture reading this morning is Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. For such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost places of the sea, even though your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Our New Testament scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 16. It's the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into his boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let them hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is filled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and turn, I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, use me as your vessel right now, Lord. Let your words be the ones that I'm speaking. And silence the hearts of the people here that they would hear your message. Not just in sound, but they would hear it. And they would listen to it. For your word is our rock. Amen. About 2 months ago, my dad asked me if I'd be interested in preaching a couple Sundays here at the Elderton Presbyterian Church. I said yes, obviously, but I had very little idea at the time what I was going to talk about. So when I finally got a chance to sit down and actually think about what I was going to talk about, I thought about, what am I really qualified to talk about? Am I really qualified to give you any sort of biblical understanding? Like any good researcher, I went to where you'd definitely find some good information. Facebook. So I'm scrolling through post after post after post after post, and I have a lot of friends who post these biblical posts, and I scroll down, I'm scrolling down, and I see one that basically says God qualifies the called. Well, that made me feel a little bit better. But I still didn't have a topic. And as I've always been told, you know, speak about stuff that you've experienced. And one thing I've experienced is teachers and teaching. That's my job. And we have a bunch of teachers and parents in this room right now, and I think we can agree on one thing. Kids don't listen. Yeah. Good. Kids don't listen. I find myself telling Reese over and over and over again, Reese, you're not listening. I tell the kids at school, I repeat the same things over and over and over again because they're not listening. And oftentimes these repetitive statements that we make in a classroom or to our children tend to be the words that we remember from these individuals. I remember my 7th grade world history teacher, Mr. Costanza. And he was a great storyteller, and I was in 7th grade at the time, and you know, back in the day, he could bring in samurai swords, and that would be awesome. He was a great storyteller. And he would always tell his stories with some guy. Some guy did this, and some guy did that, and some guy did this. And it was a great story. I don't know who some guy was. I don't know, some guy from Napoleon. But he was a great storyteller, and I remember some guy. I had an 8th grade algebra teacher, Blair Brown, who used to sit right behind us at church. And I got to be honest with you, I stole his line because now you'll find me in a classroom saying, whatever you do to one side, you have to do to the other. Went to college and had an Old Testament professor named Dr. Na. He was a Korean Presbyterian minister, graduated from Princeton. And he, first day of class, he stood outside the door and we walked in and he said, empty your cup. Okay. Walked into his class and proceeded to hand us seaweed chips. We ate them. They were salty. Just in case anybody's wondering about what seaweed chips taste like, they're salty. But every single day, he would stand outside the door and say, empty your cup. And what was he trying to say? Well, we spend all of our time reading the Old Testament. We read Scripture, but we don't really know it. We read Scripture, and it's just words on a page. We read it, and if you really study it, about who wrote it and how they chose their words and the Greek words behind it, there's so much depth that we're missing. There's so much depth that as I went through that semester my senior year, I learned about the Old Testament. I'm a part of a ministry at my church called New Life Students, which is youth group. That's what we call it here. It's just New Life Students there. And they use that same metaphor, empty your cup. But they use it a different way. In order for us to fill up others' cups, we must empty our own. We must empty our cups. And I'd be remiss if I didn't take a couple of seconds to acknowledge some people that are part of this congregation that have emptied their cup upon me. People like Victor Shaw, who, that calendar of his had to be a work of art. I don't know how many birthdays went by, and I always got a card from Vic. Rick and Prudy Sweeney, who mentored me as a youth. Rick and Vanessa Milliman, Kevin and Betsy Rick. I could keep going. This church family is special to me. But I know it's also to people sitting in this room. Well, that got me to thinking. Jesus is the best teacher ever. What did he say over and over and over again? What were his go-to lines? What was his line that he went to that he needed people to hear? It turns out that 14 times in the scriptures, he says the phrase, he who has ears, let them hear. It's verse 8 in the passage. He who has ears, let them hear. Now, I'm sure 14 times through the scriptures, and I'm sure he said it hundreds of times other than that, but I think that message applies to today. You know, I teach in the high school, and I watch these kids, and I think to myself, how do they do this? They take one AirPod out of their pocket and put it in one ear, get out their phone, and they'll start Snapchatting their friends and texting their friends and carrying on a conversation with somebody and playing a game and doing all this stuff. And I think to myself, how do they do that? They're not really committing direct attention to anything, but they're also not ignoring anything. It's amazing to me. And I think to some degree, we are like them. We live in a society that tells us the more things you do, the more successful you are. The more hands you have in the cookie jar, the more power and control you possess. A world where we often are too busy to commit fully to any one thing, but we try to partially commit to a whole bunch. Matter of fact, as I wrote this, I think it's especially important when it comes to my personal faith. Too often I get caught not making time for God. I get caught not spending time with him. I get caught with distractions, and I get caught where my mind doesn't fully allow me to engage with the one who created me. And that's not the way Jesus operated as a teacher, and it's not what God expects us as his followers. He wants our whole attention. He gave us ears. He wants you to hear his words. The reality is, almost everything Jesus ever asked of us was an action. We read it all through scriptures. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all things will be added to you. John 21:15-16, if you love me, feed my sheep. Matthew 28:19-20, it's the great commission of going out into the world and making disciples of all nations. Hear, seek, feed, go, and make. Those are all actions. Faith in itself is an action. There's a devotional on YouTube by Dr. Tony Evans, who's the founder and lead pastor of Oak Hill Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas. And it's called Faith as an Action, where Dr. Evans discusses how we sometimes treat our faith like a prescription drug. And he offers these words. Many of us come to church and we get the word of God. We hear it and go, well, I don't understand all that, but I know the one who gave it knows what he's talking about. If there is no acting on what is prescribed, there is no faith that has been exhibited. And if there is no faith that has been exhibited, stop complaining when things aren't working. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a discussion. Faith is an action based on the authorization of God. Studies have shown that multitasking actually doesn't improve performance. Actually does quite the opposite. How can we possibly demonstrate our faith fully if we aren't singularly focused? And if we're not singularly focused upwards towards our God. It's a simple statement in the passage. He who has ears, let them hear. But it's a statement that comes with directives. Hear the word. Because you heard the word, now you got to absorb the word. And because you've absorbed the word and been issued directives within the word, then you must act on the word. And if we are not acting on the word, then we are falling short of what God expects from us. We can't do any of these things if we are distracted. If, to use the teenager analogy, we have one AirPod in our ear and the other trying to listen to something else. I want to challenge you this morning. Whatever you do for the rest of the week to develop your relationship with God, do it as an action. The next couple of minutes, we are going to sing. And I want you to sing praises, not just because it's time to sing, but because you're declaring God's worthiness of praise. Ephesians 5:19 says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Pray, not just because you're asking for something, but because you actually want honest conversation with God. James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. And finally, and most importantly for the rest of the week, love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Love with purpose. Tell the people you care about that you love them. Talk to that coworker, friend, or neighbor that you know is having a rough go, and just talk with them. Go to dinner. If you're like my dad, you can go to breakfast or lunch too. Whatever works. I mean, really, when you break it all down, it really does. Just go whenever. Go to dinner with somebody. Talk about life. Invest in somebody else. Focus up, and through your focus, you will do God's will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your words, and we give you thanks for your scriptures, and we give you thanks for our ability to not just hear, but to absorb, and not just to absorb, but to act. And Lord, we ask that you would be with us as we act. Lord, we ask that you would bless us. And we ask that you would allow us to do your will through your service. Amen. If you'd now stand and affirm our faith by saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Would the ushers come forward as we receive our tithes and offerings?